Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, May 15th, 2025. We'll start with a story titled Honoring the Fallen. Danville Police, Vermilion County Sheriff's Deputies Remember Fallen Soldiers, and this is written by Kayla White. As part of National Police Week, the Danville Police Department and Vermilion County Sheriff's Department came together Wednesday, May 14th at Sunset Memorial Park, along with members of the public, to honor three Danville Police Department officers killed in the line of duty. At the annual police memorial service, members of the VCSD's Honor Guard presented the colors. Vicki McCarty, chaplain for the DPD, opened the memorial service with remarks about the importance of honoring officers and especially those killed in the line of duty. The real heroes of our communities are frontliners, and they wear badges, not capes. A simple thank you today just doesn't seem enough, McCarty said. You are some of the bravest people in the world for your courage and your dedication to duty. Thank you for your example of sacrifice. Thank you for your determination. Thank you for your bravery and fortitude, McCarty said. The difference you make makes all the difference. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. read the names of three fallen officers being honored, including Patrolman August Lynn, Officer David Farnsworth, and Sergeant Myron G. Deckard, as well as their end of watch the day they were killed. Lynn died April 10th of 1908 of gunshot wounds he received a few days earlier when trying to stop a burglary. He served for 20 years, according to the Officer Down Memorial Page website. Farnsworth died January 27, 1976, while in the line of duty. After pulling over two brothers in a traffic stop, Farnsworth was beaten to death with his flashlight. He had previously served in the Vietnam War. Deckard died Wednesday, June 6, 2001, while transporting a prisoner from Montgomery County to Vermilion County. The prisoner broke free and shot Deckard with his own handgun. He had served the VCSD for 32 years. Williams quoted a scripture from the Bible before thanking those officers present for their willingness to risk their lives in the line of duty. That's what you all have pledged to do, to go into dangerous situations and with people that you don't know and take good care of them, to help people in their greatest hour of need. So for that, we honor you as we honor these men, Williams said. DPD Chief Christopher Yates and VCSD Sheriff Patrick Hartshorn later presented red, white, and blue wreaths for fallen officers. Though both groups have held individual memorial services for decades, 20 years ago they joined forces to honor their fallen together, Harnsworth said. Sunset built this space just for the police and fire, so once it was built, we came together, and that's probably been 20-some years that we've been doing it together here at the memorial, he said. After a rifle salute by the DPD Honor Guard and taps played by an officer with VCSD, Todd Hitt played Amazing Grace on bagpipes for a final reflection before the VCSD retired the colors. And there's a picture of Vermilion County Sheriff's deputies posed for a photo in front of the Heroes Memorial at Sunset Cemetery in Danville Wednesday. Those kneeling in front are members of the squad's Honor Guard. It's nice. Next story is titled Consumer Advocates Tell Regulators to Slash Rate Hikes Requests from Ameren and Nicor. This is written by Andrew Adams in Capital News, Illinois. Natural gas customers in the Chicago suburbs and downstate Illinois are likely to see an increase in their monthly bills next year, but it's up to state regulators to decide how big a hike, if any, to approve. Nicor Gas, which serves 2.3 million customers in northern and western Illinois, registered the largest gas rate plan in state history, roughly equivalent to $7.50 per month for the average residential customer. Ameren, Illinois, which has about 800,000 downstate customers requested an increase that translates to between $8 and $10 higher monthly bills for a typical residential customer. Regulators of the Illinois Commerce Commission are expected to announce a decision as to whether to approve or alter the hikes in November. The new rates would go into effect at the start of 2026. In the meantime, consumer watchdogs and environmental advocates are ruling against both utilities for their requests, which they argue should be slashed drastically. Critiques from consumer groups. The Citizens Utility Board, a consumer watchdog group, filed written testimony this month in both cases, arguing that the request should be cut, NICOR's by about 36% and Ameren's by 42%. Other groups like the Illinois Attorney General's Office, the Environmental Defense Feud, and others argued that the additional cuts in their own filings. Abe Scar, director of the consumer advocacy group Illinois PIRG, said the companies are requesting long-term commitments and paying for gas system infrastructure despite the potential for decreasing demand for fossil fuels. The more expensive their infrastructure investments, the more opportunity they have to profit, Scar said. Because utility profits are regulated by agencies like the ICC, this is a financial incentive to invest the infrastructure so that more funds can be recovered from customers, a portion of which then go to the shareholders. The rate of the return is one of the things being litigated in these rate cases. Both companies requested a bump in their allowed return on equity, which translates it to the amount paid to the shareholders in recent years. The ICC has consistently rejected utilities' requests for higher return rates, although they have approved some modest increases. You are asking us to predict that those shares are worth next. What those shares are worth next year? Next month is going to be hard, Cubs General Counsel Eric DeBellis said. DeBellis said the companies overstepped in other areas of their request as well, including costs associated with rate cases and post-employment benefits, as well as accounting irregularity worth millions of dollars that Ameren has already admitted was erroneous. He noted that NICOR included tens of millions of dollars of projects that were rejected by the ICC in the company's rate request 2 years ago, a move that DeBellis called galling. Environmentalists question future of gas. The companies drew criticism from some environmentalists who argued in testimony this month that investing in natural gas infrastructures as the state and country move away from fossil fuels could leave customers on the hook for the bill for decades. Kurt Stokes, a senior attorney for the Environmental Defense Fund, said he's concerned that gas companies are building out new gas infrastructures in a way that locks us in and keeps us hooked on fossil fuels for our energy needs. For Ameren, much of the contention comes from the company's plan to upgrade its natural gas system, a plan that company officials said is required by federal safety rules. But critics point out that Ameren frequently chooses to totally replace pipes, the most expensive and most profitable option, instead of cheaper alternatives like testing them for safety. But Ameren officials defend the choice as being the only option to ensure compliance with federal rules. The investments we have proposed in our reliability plan will enable us to meet strict federal pipeline safety requirements, reduce leaks, and provide refillable, reliable, and affordable natural gas service for our residential and business customers, Brad Klopel, Ameren's Senior Director of Gas Operations, said in a statement. We evaluate all methods available for each segment of the pipe, subject to compliance based on cost and operational feasibility. Meanwhile, advocates have criticized Nicor's efforts at lessening greenhouse gas emissions. The utility requested to make permanent a pilot program called Total Green, a voluntary effort that allows customers to pay to offset their carbon footprint through a mix of renewable natural gas and investments in methane capture and forest conservation. They certainly have not demonstrated, and there's lots of reasons to be skeptical that there's any environmental benefit, Scar said. The EDF, Illinois PIRG, and the Environmental Law and Policy Center argued in a joint filing that the Total Green program fails to live up to the state's clean energy goals. Among other reasons, the group's testimony said it costs more than $2,400 per person and has only offset the equivalent of 0.0031% of the company's yearly carbon footprint. Jennifer Goles, a Nicor sales spokesperson, said the program supports the state's broader environmental objectives in the path to sustainable future. Nicor Gas supports our parent company, Southern Company Gas, in its goal to achieve that zero direct greenhouse gas emissions from its operation by 2050, Goles said in the email. We also support reducing emissions across the natural gas chain, from gas production to transmission to end uses. Total Green is one of the several projects outlined in the two rate cases, which use renewable natural gas, a term for methane that is captured from landfills, wastewater treatment plants, and farms that would have otherwise been released into the atmosphere. Stokes said there were too many open questions about renewable gas natural gas programs for the EDF to support the initiatives, but he was optimistic about some of the company's other proposals. There are good signs in these cases that Nicor and Ameren are looking to be more innovative, Stokes said. He pointed specifically to Nicor's energy efficiency programs and a proposal for a pilot program of Ameren, which would allow communities to transition from natural gas to electric all at once as pipelines need to be replaced or retired. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. And there's a picture of the Michael A. Bilandic building is downtown Chicago, shown in May of 2024, houses the offices of Illinois Commerce Commission. Next story is Elmwood Park to receive new playground equipment, basketball court. Update should be ready this season. And this is written by Kegla White. Due to concerns over the age and safety of the current playground equipment, Elmwood Park in Danville will be receiving a whole new $44,000 playground set pending approval by the full City Council next week. The Public Works Committee voted unanimously to approve the purchase on Wednesday. There's multiple slides on it. It's going to be similar size-wise to what's there now, but it'll be very nice-looking piece of equipment for sure, and should really dress that park up, Public Works Director David Rue said. Along with the court project that we're doing we're updating the basketball court, so that'll be new with some new hoops, and that'll get done this year as well. The old playground equipment will be stripped for parts for you to utilize elsewhere in the city before the rest of this is scrapped, according to Rue. That playground equipment also matches the equipment currently at Liberty Park. If there's anything that's needed to patch anything and it's useful, we might keep it. Otherwise, it goes to scrap, he said. In reference to some playground equipment which was removed from Cannon Elementary School that perhaps still had some life in it, Williams said it couldn't be saved. When they tore down Cannon School, the playground equipment was still in quite good condition, and we wanted to reuse it, but by the time we got everything taken out, trying to transport and remove it, and then also ensuring the integrity of it, basically it was going to be more expensive to try to use existing playground equipment than to buy new, Williams said. The city will be responsible for clearing out the existing equipment, while the company they purchased the new equipment from will be responsible for the new installation, a $19,000 portion of the total $44,000 cost of the new equipment. Funds for this purchase will come out of the Capital Improvements Fund. Though the crew is capable of the install, Ruth said the city would save more money hiring the company than doing it themselves. It's worth it to keep our parks crews working on all the other maintenance items that we have. That's a pretty good price for install. We wouldn't be saving ourselves a whole lot of money by doing it ourselves, Ruth said. Now that the Public Works Committee has approved the purchase, the final decision will go to the full council in their next meeting on Tuesday, May 20th at 6 p.m. Okay, now we'll run through the obituaries. Tracy Lynn Owens, 58, of Glen Carbon, Illinois, passed away at 8:49 a.m. on Monday, May 13th, at home with her family by her side. She was born in Danville. A funeral service will be held on Monday, May 19th at 10 a.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church at 824 East Main Street in Danville. Pastor Kent Tibben will officiate. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will be held on Sunday, May 18th from 2 to 4 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in Tracy's memory to St. Jude's Research Hospital or Dementia Society of America. John Masters, 94, of Edinburgh, Illinois, formerly of Danville, passed away at his home on Friday, May 9th in Edinburgh, Illinois. As per John's wishes, cremation rites will be accorded and private family services will be held. Interment will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville, Illinois. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois at 3940 North Vermilion Street is assisting the family with arrangements. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in John's memory to the Edinburgh United Methodist Church in Edinburgh, Illinois. And Margaret Peggy Laurie, 88, of Danville, passed away on May 10th at Waters of Covington, Indiana. A memorial service in her honor will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, May 17th at 2025, May 17th at St. James United Methodist Church at 504 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Reverend Donald Jackson will officiate. She will be laid to rest in a private ceremony in Danville at Danville National Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted by Sunset Funeral Home at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. In lieu of flowers, donations in Peggy's name can be made to St. James United Methodist Church, the Alzheimer's Association, or the PEO Chapter HX Scholarship Fund. Next story is titled, Firefighters Come to Danville to Train in Active House Fires, and this again is written by Kegla White. Trainee firefighters from all over the Midwest came to Danville for the past few weeks to train on how to fight a live, active house fire. An old, dilapidated house on Jefferson Street in South Danville was deliberately set alight to give new firefighters some on-the-job training, according to DFD training captain Ryan Allison. As part of the final steps in training, new firefighters must display their ability to work through a house fire safely and swiftly, Allison said. They were getting a more realistic experience than they get in a metal training warehouse, he added. Firefighters from different departments empty a water. I'm sorry, looking at a difference. Trainees with the Champaign and Urbana Fire Department, who had already completed about 4 weeks of their required 6 weeks of training, worked alongside trainees with other area firefighters to fight fires in the house that were set across the span of several days, Allison said. There were even some DFD trainees who had only recently been sworn in, Allison said. We just we just swore in three last week and one this week, and so they're still so new that they're not at the point of doing live stuff, fire stuff yet, Allison said. But we did bring them down here from the outside, walked around and talked about smoke conditions, so it was definitely impactful for our own guys as well. Tuesday was their full final burn on the property, Allison said, so they were allowing it to burn to the ground safely after days of setting and putting out smaller controlled fires throughout the house. Since the city has such a long list of dilapidated houses that need to come down, allowing the department to the fire department to set them alight for training was a two birds one stone situation, Allison said. The goal is to try and continue this program in targeted areas where we can minimize the impact on the neighborhood, Allison said, adding that firefighters are skilled in how to safely light fires in these situations to control the way the house burns down. There are several houses very near this one, and they're all safe. Before this portion of training, the DFD also hosted a special training known as VES, Vent, Enter, Search, Beyond the Door. We had the guys from Kentucky, Wisconsin, and Iowa. We had an instructor come here all the way from Montana to teach that class, Allison said. The purpose of this training was to teach trainees how to go into a burning building and find and rescue victims. We took this big house and we filled it with furniture, clothing. We made it like a real home. And then we didn't burn anything in it. We just made fake smoke, like Halloween smoke, Allison said. After completing a few more weeks of training, including handling hazardous materials and extrication vehicle rescue training, now new firefighters will graduate from the academy and will be assigned a shift. I'm very proud of our guys, our department, and where we're at, Allison said, adding that he is grateful for the support of the DFD has received from the city as they train their new firefighters. The support from the mayor and everybody else has been phenomenal, he said, also thanking DFD Fire Chief Aaron Marcotte. And then there's a picture of Champaign Fire Department trainees wrap up a fire hose after their live fire training Tuesday in Danville. And then there's a picture of trainees with the Champaign and Urbana Fire Departments who had already completed about 4 weeks of their training skills, required 6 weeks of training alongside the other trainees. So looks like a nice thing. Next story, Danville man dies after pedal cycle incident, written by a staff reporter. A Danville man was killed after falling off his pedal cycle Monday, May 12th. Vermilion County Coroner Jade McFadden said Christopher Dzuwicz, 51, fell off his cycle into the roadway in the 700 block of East Main Street. He was then struck by a semi-truck. Ooh. Danville police responded to the incident at 1:42 p.m. Upon arrival, officers located him Christopher, who was suffering with severe injuries after being struck by the semi-trailer. Medical personnel arrived to render aid, but unfortunately the victim was pronounced deceased at the scene, DPD Deputy Chief Joshua Webb said in the news release. DPD officers immediately began investigating the scene and were later assisted by the Illinois State Police Accident Reconstruction Team. Officers learned the victim was riding a pedal cycle on the sidewalk in the 700 block of East Main Street when the victim lost control of the pedal cycle, fell out into the roadway, and landed underneath the rear of the semi-trailer as it was driving past him, Webb said. The driver of the semi-trailer immediately stopped and requested police and medical assistance for the victim. The driver of the semi-trailer was not issued any citations and no other injuries were reported during the incident. The Danville Police Department and the Vermilion County Coroner's Office continue to investigate the incident. Anyone who has information regarding the incident is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. Next, Danville man sentenced to in January, burglary. On May 9th, Corey Day, age 45, formerly of Danville, pleaded guilty to burglary, a Class 2 felony, and was sentenced to 9 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. Following his term of imprisonment, Day will serve 1 year mandatory supervised release. Judge Mark Goodwin presided over the plea and sentencing. The people presented evidence that on January 15th, officers with the Danville Police Department were dispatched to a storage facility on Voorhees Street. The property manager reported that through the remote feed of the security cameras, subjects had been seen at multiple times throughout the morning hours inside the fence of the property, stealing items from the storage sheds. Police responded and found a hole cut in the fence and the defendant inside the fence with a bag, a large lamp, and a bubble gum dispenser. Once apprehended by police, the suspect, identified as Day, confessed to being on the property earlier. Day stated that he had stolen the bag from one of the storage sheds and admitted to possessing the stolen property from a prior burglary of the property earlier in the night. State Attorney Jacqueline Lacey said, "I commend the Danville Police Department for their fast response in apprehending this burglar. Thanks to their quick action, a threat to our community has been removed. My office will continue to work with the police to ensure criminals are held accountable." Danville man sentenced for multiple battery charges. Tyler Johnson, age 32, formerly of Danville, pleaded guilty to aggravated domestic battery, great bodily harm, a Class 2 felony with an aggravated battery, great bodily harm, a Class 3 felony recently in Vermilion County. Johnson was sentenced to 4 and 5 years for the charges in the Illinois Department of Corrections to be served 85% under Illinois truth in sentencing laws. The sentences will be served concurrently. Johnson will also serve a term of 4 years mandatory supervised release following his term of imprisonment. The plea and sentencing were presided over by Mark Gooden. The people presented evidence that on September 22, 2024, Vermilion County Sheriff's Department received a report that Tyler Johnson had battered a household member. A witness stated that Johnson said that he was going to speak to the victim, who was asleep in the other room. The witness then heard a loud striking around sound coming from the room and saw Johnson run out of the residence. The victim was found with a large head wound, and a golf club believed to be the weapon used was located in the path of Johnson's escape. Members of the Sheriff's Department interviewed Johnson after he was located the next day, and he admitted to striking the victim with the golf club after an argument. The people also presented evidence that law enforcement learned that inmate at the public safety building was the victim of an aggravated battery investigation by the Sheriff's Department, revealed that Tyler Johnson, along with two other inmates, co-defendants Bradley Williams and Jason Johnson, repeatedly struck and kicked the victim, who suffered multiple injuries, including a broken jaw requiring hospital treatment. Co-defendant Jason Johnson was interviewed by the law enforcement and confirmed he committed the crime with co-defendants Johnson and Williams. Johnson pleaded guilty on April 25th of 2025 to aggravated battery, great bodily harm, a Class 3 felony for 5 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. And just real quick, there's a picture of Anderson to speak at Kiwanis meeting. The pictures at a recent noon Kiwanis meeting are from left. Lieutenant Governor Pete Buckley, Kelly Engel, Speaker Ted Haupt, Joe Rotman, and Mark Garrett. The next meeting will be today, May 15th, at the Danville Public Library. The guest speaker will be the club's president, Dave Anderson. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, May 15th, 2025. Looks like it's going to be a good weekend. A little bit of rain today and tomorrow maybe, but I guess we can always use it. But it's supposed to be nice and warm this weekend. So hopefully y'all have a good week, and I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.